Afternoon, everybody. How we doing?
Good.
I'd like to say, I know that there was an incident reported with Braylon Edwards, and something I'm aware of, something I spoke to Braylon about, and personal conduct is very important to me. And I never, or I always want our players to put themselves in the most positive positions. And this is something that I'll continue to gather information on. But right now, I really have nothing else to add to that. In terms of the game yesterday, what I told the players is I was disappointed for them with the result, because they played the way that I'm looking for them to play. And there wasn't a player in the room that I was disappointed in. We didn't get the outcome that we wanted, but I thought there was real strides in terms of what we're looking for and how we play Browns football. The intensity, the selflessness, everybody trying to contribute in any way that they can, and you saw great examples of that throughout the game. The receivers blocking down the field, guys like Mike Furry playing offense, then moving over, playing some safety, playing some in the slot, Mike Adams playing corner, playing star, playing safety, guys playing multiple roles on special teams. And I didn't think that there was any point in the game where we weren't playing complementary football, where we weren't supporting each other as much as possibly could be done throughout the course of it. And it's something that, as we continue to work, as this process continues to go on, if we do those things and we improve on the things we haven't done very well, which I thought there was improvement throughout this week, these close games will change. Things will change. But I thought we made a real stride in understanding how to play Browns football and what we're looking for each week. And now it's a function of going out and having the same type of week of practice and having the same type of performance in the game with the areas where we need to improved upon. And the outcome will be different. But I was there was a lot of things that I was really encouraged by, and I think that we made some real strides. Nobody's happy with the end result. Nobody's happy with where we are, but it is a process, and I thought we made some strides in that process. So with that, open up to questions.
Eric, was Braylon regretful of what happened early this morning, or remorseful? Or can you just characterize maybe his disposition?
Yeah, the nobody wants to be in a in any situation, but a positive situation. And that's something we talked about and really, like I said, still gathering information, and it's really all I have to add at this time.
Coach, yesterday Braylon was saying that you used a different approach last week. I know you guys didn't wear full pads on Thursday. Were there some other things you did, and what prompted that?
Well, as I get to know the players and the players get to know me, and the communication continues to grow, and that's something that's very important to me. And I've always enjoyed listening to the players' feedback. You get a lot of good ideas, and them understanding that the door is always open. And that's part of the process too, is us understanding each other more and more. There were some things that we changed, and I thought they were effective, and look at them this week and be open to new ideas the whole time that we go. And that's not just in terms of the schedule or the pads or any of those things. It could be defensive feedback on some of the stuff we're doing. It could be DA's feedback on the plays that he likes. It could be the receiver's input on the plays that they like. And it's everybody's working together for the same end goal, and it's never going to be this is what we're doing, that's it, there's no give. That's never how it's going to be. It wasn't how it was in New York. It wasn't how it was when I was a defensive coordinator or a defensive back coach. It's all of us together trying to figure out the best way for us to proceed. And I think we continue to learn about each other and understand each other better. That continues to improve.
Do you think that runs contrary to this image of you as just this iron-fisted my way or no way coach?
I don't know, does it? I'm really confident in the relationships I've had with players. You know, you see a guy like Lavernius Coles, and you know, he's a guy that texts me maybe once a week. Hey, how you doing? How's things going? And that relationship didn't start off in the greatest place. But once we understood each other, and once he understood what I believed in, and I understood where he was coming from, and you break down some of those walls, and everybody realizes it's all about winning. I mean, everything is about winning. There's no agenda besides that. And we all share that passion. Everybody here shares the same passion. Now it's just a function of what's the best way to get to that. And, you know, I think LC's probably one of my best examples of that. But there's been plenty of those guys. Remember Lawyer Malloy, when I was first a DB coach, there were times where I didn't know where he was coming from at all. And I'm sure he didn't know where I was coming from at all. Finally, I said, we need to sit down and talk about this. And he kind of explained his process of going through the week, and I got it. And I explained my process of going through the week, and he got it. And then it was, you know, he took Julie and I to the Pro Bowl, invited us to his wedding. You know, it's just, sometimes you gotta get past a couple of initial roadblocks and see where the other person is coming from and understand that everybody wants the same thing.
Eric, after having where you had a good week of practice, and clearly there was a bunch of progress going on at the game, is it discouraging then to have to walk out here and say, okay, we have this incident at the bar or whatever?
I don't want to ever walk out here, whether we're 16-0 or 0-4 or any time, and ever talk about our players in any way besides the most positive light. And the players don't want that either. The thing that I love talking about is how much they're doing in the community, who they're helping, how they're playing, how they're, all those positive things. And that's what they want too. Sometimes things happen and you address them and you work to find out the best course of action. But the important thing for all of us is to be the best Cleveland Browns we can be, and that's on the field and that's in the community and that's in every way possible.
How far beyond what you would normally expect of a rookie wideout did Massaqua conduct himself yesterday?
I told him he put his big boy pants on yesterday. It was great. It was great to see. And those are things that I've seen throughout the course of OTAs and mini camps and training camps. And he just keeps working at it. And every guy kind of hits their stride at different times. Every guy gets their opportunities at different times. The key thing is when you get them, you take advantage of them. And I thought he did a nice job taking advantage of his opportunities yesterday. I thought there were other guys, too. I mean, Chris Jennings was on the practice squad until Saturday, and his first carry is a guy in the backfield, makes a guy miss, picks up 8 yards, plays some plays after that, catches a pass. That's great, and that's what you're looking for is, hey, you got this chance. Mike Furry, really his first opportunity on defense, breaks up a pass in overtime. All those things are positive.
Eric, when you're an off-the-field thing, do you have a team policy as far as discipline and how you handle it?
You know, I really do understand the questions, but you look at each situation differently and you evaluate it, and everyone is different, but I can say that, that conduct is important to me, to us, to the players, and it's important today, it'll be important tomorrow, and then but each situation is different. The important thing is going through the process and seeing where you are.
Eric, you were far more animated yesterday on the sideline than we've seen you. Did you feel like you needed to loosen up with this group a little bit?
I guess it depends on who you talk to in terms of how loose I am. And well, my wife thinks I'm pretty funny, but I mean, I got her to marry me, so I'm sure some of her ex-boyfriends think that's pretty funny. But it's I just try to be who I am and not try to be anybody else. And I guess I didn't even realize it was that much different than it had been, but I'll take your word for it.
You seem more engaged. I don't know. It's just an observation.
Yeah, it's it was fun to see the progress as a coach. That's always exciting. That's always when concepts hit, when things hit. It's it's exciting. It's fun. It's a great part of this profession.
You know, you think the score had something to do with that?
What's that?
Don't you think the score had something to do with you smiling and well, guy patting Derek on the butt?
Getting off the field on third down always makes me happy, defensively, not offensively. No, it's you just kind of go with where I didn't consciously say, oh, okay, I'm going to be this way or that way.
Tape and looked at Harrison, what did you see?
Well, I thought he had some really nice cuts. I thought he had some nice reads in the hole. There were a couple I thought he could have done some things a little differently, and then I'm sure he through the corrections and things like that he's seeing as well. But it was nice for him to have his first 100-yard gain and really the blocking by the offensive line against a very good defense team, against a very good defensive front. I thought they did a nice job with the combination blocks, getting movement, blocking by the receivers. I mean, there were three or four different plays where the run would have been just 3 yards or 2 yards, but the receivers did an excellent job on the perimeter, and that's spraying the run for more.
What, if anything, could you have done different on the Carson scramble in overtime?
It could have got a little bit widened in one lane. We're in man-to-man coverage, and that's always the chance you take. If a seam opens up and the guy's able to get through, there's not another line of defense because everybody else is committed into the coverage. So you're always trying to maintain the perimeter of the defense so you can't break contain either left or right, and also keep the holes internally as tight as possible. He just got a little bit of width there, and he took off. So there wasn't, once he broke through that first line, there wasn't much left.
Four-man rush?
Yeah, yep.
How much do you think yesterday had to do, even on the defensive side, the way that Derek Anderson played?
Well, I think yesterday had to do with the way all three sides played. I thought the special teams, great job. I mean, the return game, working on those things, just adjusting a little bit of leverage on some of those blocks made a huge difference to the size of the hole that Josh had. It was a nice play that Jerome had leading up on the kicker, but you never get to the kicker if things are closing in quickly. But he did. He got it. That pushed another 15, 20 yards till got to the backside safety. So blocking two, blocking a field goal, then blocking an extra point, the coverage. That's an excellent punt returner. They were one of the top in the leagues in punt return yards. The way that those guys leveraged them and kept them contained, where in some of the previous weeks, for the most part it was good, but there's one crease and it's not coordinated, and suddenly it goes for a long way. I thought the teams did a nice job forcing the fumble like they did. Really outstanding.
What I was asking was, Did the energy that he brought, do you think that was contagious to the other units?
at Derek Buck?
I think it always helps when you're able to do positive things and eat in each one of the phases, and it feeds off each other. But at one point, we're down 14-0, and there was no. There's another great lesson that you see. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. It's 14-0. At that point in the game, it doesn't matter. What matters is the kickoff return, the next drive, and that's going to happen throughout the course of the year. There's going to be issues. There's going to be problems. It's how you deal with it that's so important. And that's what's satisfying from a coaching perspective is we were in that spot, and we dealt with it the right way. A sense of calm combined with urgency, because you need them both, and responded well.
That game struck some of us as one of Poole's best, if not the best, just in terms of him showing up on some conspicuous plays. But you know, what was that a sign of Poole, finding himself in your system?
He's made other plays throughout the course of the year, and he's made plays. I've seen him make plays before. He's made plays, of course, against teams that I was with. I wish he hadn't made at that point. But he's got good range. I think he had a good read in the quarterback a couple different times. I'm sure he'll tell you he's a little frustrated. He probably thought he had another pick there at one point on the sideline and just got away from him. But he's got that ability each week. And as he continues to understand the defense better, as he understands all those different things, I think he's got the potential to keep making plays like that.
Was he allowed to wander more, Eric? It's almost like he's a center fielder, kind of, you know.
It really depended on the play, Terry. Some he had to be in the middle of the field. Some he was more of a half-field safety. I thought he did a nice job, though, reading the quarterback. And like we talked about in here before, when you can anticipate where it's going, it looks like you're getting there a lot faster than you normally would be. So I thought that was a good thing that he did yesterday.
Do you see a lot of upside potential for Derek? I mean, do you feel kind of excited about what you can do with him there? And do you feel set for a little while at the quarterback position?
I thought he played really well. I thought he played well. In terms of managing the game, I thought there were some times where he checked a few things and got us into a good play. Really an outstanding throw there on 3rd and 2, the one to Massaquoi that got us down to the 1-yard line. The play I'm sure he wants back is the interception. And there's some other times where we had a chance. Might have been, I think the throw just got away from him more so than anything else. But there were some outstanding reads as well, and he worked extremely hard all week, spending not just the normal time with Carl and Brian, but extra time, and I think it paid off for him.
So do you think? I mean, just to follow up on the last part of my question, do you sort of feel, you know, kind of like you have something here now for a little while that you can go with?
Yeah, I felt really good about what he did yesterday. I did.
Knock, and probably even within the building and from certain guys in the previous regime, that Anderson is suspect as a finisher. And I say that in reference to one play where Furry was open over the middle in the overtime, maybe in position to get you into field goal range and win the game. And I'm sure you remember the play, but what I don't know is, was that a sign of Anderson hurrying? Or did he do the only thing that was available to him and get the ball out as late as he could? You know, was that the Anderson not quite being poised enough to make the big play, or was it something else?
I sensed poise throughout the whole game. I sensed a real sense of calm throughout the whole game, a real determination throughout the whole game. And there were some throws that he made in that overtime period that we didn't convert on, and they were good throws. So, and he was able to move, or actually towards the end of regulation, there were some really good throws there, and we're almost in a position to kick the field goal at that point. So I didn't see anything but that throughout the game.
Do you think that maybe you picked the wrong guy then to start the season?
Well, you look at it when you have to make the decision, and you make the decision based on the information that you have, and at that point, that's the decision I made, and I felt very comfortable making that decision. And each decision that you make, you go based on what you have at that point and what you feel is best at that point. And as things change, decisions may change, but you're really basing it on that moment and what you have.
Eric, you mentioned you saw Cleveland Browns football yesterday. What exactly do you mean by that?
I mean, tough, smart, selfless, hardworking, all the things that I fundamentally believe in to my core, and that win games, and that is important for us to do week in and week out.
Does it make it easier to sell what you believe in when you at least now you got some tangible evidence to go with?
I don't know if I was ever really trying to sell it as much as I was trying to teach it. And I believe in it, and I've seen it work, and I've seen it work time and time again. And to me, it's not about selling; it's just about educating.
One more.
Raymond, didn't have any catches in the game. He had one or two drops, depending on how you rated those two. And then he got in a fight during the game. Do you think? And then the loss, of course. Do you think some of these things built up and maybe perhaps spilled over into the nighttime incident?
I can tell you, Braylon throughout the game was like the rest of the guys, and the great indication of that is one of the blocks that he had on their forget which linebacker it was, but came in, dug him out, opened up the hole for JC. That there was no. It wasn't about catches. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was just everybody trying to figure out a way to win the game. And I saw that throughout the course of the game. And there were times where it got a little bit tense in the game, both on their side and our side. And because everybody was committed to winning at all.